It's a lot of fun.
So much fun.
In fact, to the point where this is a pretty big ask. I'm not going to lie to you right here.
Oh my God.
There are a lot of distractions in play right now. And so we, Dibs and I, are actively looking for as much fun as we're looking forward to this show. We're actively looking for people who want to come in and do the show so that we can go experience Cash Creek.
Okay. Well, don't get into too much trouble over there.
Well, I mean, look, apparently it's the thing to do. I saw the D'Amador Lenore story.
Yeah, well.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
Yeah, a little bit last night and kind of resolved this morning. I don't know. We were talking about it earlier. It seems like a situation that is obviously a bad look, but only because of the lack of distractions this entire offseason is this first blip on the radar, which hopefully won't be anything more than just a blip, is a story whatsoever.
I mean, it's a blip, yes, because it was just a foolish little, who got the keys? You have the keys, I have the keys. The keys. But it's just a little bit of an annoying thing where so far, so good in the offseason, right? It's like no contract S. You had Brock Purdy, who even came in voluntarily when his deal wasn't signed. And heck, even Trent Williams actually showed up to OTAs and stuff that he hadn't done in 10 years. And so now we're in that dead period where it's basically, what, 5 or 6 weeks where go away, do nothing, stay fit, stay out of trouble, and we'll see you in July, and yet this pops up. It just is a little bit annoying. It's a level 1 out of 10 in terms of, like, oh, boy. But still, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, on the backdrop of what happened last offseason, what has happened so far this offseason, and then you add to the fact that it's D'Amador Lenore who's, I mean, we were talking about it. I don't know about when you factor in offense, because obviously Purdy's incredibly valuable and Trent Williams and McCaffrey and Kittle. But defensively, like, I think no argument. He's your third most important player defensively on a defense that has a good amount of question marks. So if anything were to happen to that guy, like, the defense takes a major, major hit going forward.
You know what is sort of the thread through all of this? Even just kind of listening to you guys talk about it, in reading to what's going on, I feel like there's a thread that's going on with a lot of stuff that we're talking about right now. And I feel, I don't want to sound like an old fart saying this, but the word that keeps popping into my head is maturity. And so, like, this feels like it was, and again, we weren't there. I don't know where the story's going to go next, but it feels just like a stupid thing, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, like keep away with keys.
Right. Yeah. Officers come up and talk to you, and now we're like, oh, this is funny. We're going to start throwing the keys around the room. Like, don't be an idiot. That's dumb. And I feel like we're having this conversation in a number of fronts. Grandy, like all of us, we've been talking about this with Brandon Ayuk and his social media. In fact, I want to take a moment again to compliment Jonathan Kuminga for the maturity that he showed this year, even in a very, very difficult situation. I thought the Giants thing the other day, where they're like, all right, we're kind of annoyed that you keep hitting us, so now we're going to tell you that we're going to hit you, and then we're going to hit a Marlin.
Oh.
The next day. This is all, like, this is, it's just, it's a maturity issue. That's what I see. And it can, if it becomes consistent or bigger, kind of like it has with Ayuk, it can become an issue.
I just had a visual of, so when I was like 14, went on a fishing trip to Hawaii, and my brother actually caught a marlin. And one of the ways you bring a marlin onto the boat is,
because like
it's like 150 pounds,
you can't
just reel it in. You bring it on the side of the boat, and you literally hit it. You beat it with a bat or some sort of bludgeon type of instrument.
Oh.
And so when you said, yeah, well, they hit a marlin, my first thought goes to, oh, my God, well, they're just beating a big fish to death. And it feels like kind of like beating a dead horse sometimes with a lot of the unwritten rules versus written rules. It wasn't so much that it was a bad look as it was just like an embarrassing ending to an already embarrassing series. And that's kind of my, I don't know, that was my gripe with the whole thing of doing it in the first place.
I'm stuck on your marlin story now.
You got a club of fish?
That sounds awful. Were you there for this?
Oh yeah, I witnessed the whole thing. It was like a 30-minute wrestling match between my brother, who was on a big fishing boat, big fishing rod, bringing a marlin in off the coast of Hawaii, and it was supposedly a small marlin. 150 pounds is supposed to be not a big one. There's other
right.
people out there that, you know, it's so, like 200, 300 pounds.
So was Otto Lopez. He was one of the smaller Marlins on the team.
Well, and Levon Hernandez would be a bigger Marlin. That's if we want
point.
To talk about yeah. bigger Marlins.
Really
yeah.
big.
Yeah, they left Kyle Stowers in the ocean.
That sounds awful, though. I don't think I could do that. And what I know of you, Evan, I don't think you could do that. You didn't whack the Marlin with a bat, did you?
No. I left it up to other people. Again, and this is what I kind of revealed about myself this morning. I don't believe in hitting people, so I wouldn't have hit the Marlin. And
soft.
Yeah, I'm soft.
Soft.
And at what point does it no longer become fishing, where you have a fish on the hook and then you beat the fish? Like, it's one thing if you put the net underneath. Okay, you caught the fish, and here's the net. If you've got a fish on the hook and then you beat the fish, to me that's no longer fishing.
No, it's not playing fair. You're right. The fish
right.
doesn't have a bat.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Well, I'm with you.
Do you guys consider fishing, like Greek fishing is when you throw a stick of dynamite into the water. That's fishing.
No, I'm out.
No?
Yeah, and also like noodling, as you guys well know, when you noodle for catfish, you basically just plunge your hand into the water. And, you know, there is spear fishing, which ostensibly is fishing, but you're literally like stabbing a fish with a long pole with
people,
a knife on
but
it?
People who spearfish are doing it because, like, they're eating off of the wild, usually.
Yeah, I get it.
I don't know anybody. I don't have any friends who are like, oh, we're going on a trip. We're going down to South America, and we're going to go in the water with spears.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who does that.
And also, they're like the people who just throw a net out and catch as many fish as you can. Is that really fishing? I've never fished, so I'm not one to talk about it. I have zero casts in my life,
yep.
Wow. So I can't really speak to exactly what is or is not fishing.
You've never once fished, Dibs?
No, never once.
Wow.
And I grew up in Fairfax. Shout out Fairfax, right by
Bontempe
the lake.
Lake.
Yep, Bontempe.
We go to every week.
Alpine, Phoenix, Lagunitas, many great areas to fish. I actually grew up on the Corte Madera Creek, where you could literally off my deck cast into the creek and fish, but
I never did that. Never once.
Anything.
Why?
A number of reasons.
Okay.
One, I'm more of an instant gratification person. Two, the fine motor of like baiting the hook.
Oh, it's terrible.
Three, the whole tangle of the line. There's so many things about fishing that I do not want any part of.
You're 100% right. What you need is you need to go fishing with someone else who fishes.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Right.
I have
your
no
son, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If anything goes wrong, you just go, Abe, and then you hand him the line, and then you find out if it works out later. That's my role. Even if I catch a fish, it's like, okay, what do we do now? Abe, get over here and unhook this thing. I don't know what to do with it. That's what you need, a partner.
In my experience, golfing is kind of like fishing because you struggle, at least for me, you struggle, struggle, and then you finally hit one straight. I'm not very good at golfing, so maybe this is me specifically, and you're like, oh my God, that was the greatest thing ever. All of the last 2 hours of struggle were worth it. Same thing for fishing when nobody's biting, and then finally you catch one and you feel pretty darn accomplished and you keep coming back for more because you got one success story from 2 hours.
Therapeutic. Yeah, it's true.
Now that I know the way that you have likened golfing to fishing, I just know that I'm never going to golf with Evan because apparently we're going to struggle for a few holes and then he's going to start whacking me with his golf clubs to really put me away.
Anything to win.
Yeah,
I'm out
it's
on
just
that
more
idea.
Of a therapeutic type of deal for me. Yeah,
right.
Look, I mean, both are they're acquired tastes, but yeah, Dibs, get out there and fish one time before you go. I promise it's a good time.
Yeah, I think I'm good unless my daughter, who's two, unless she develops an affinity for fishing. Like, the reason why Mark fishes is that his kid fishes.
Yep.
And I don't know if you ever fished before you had this.
Like, twice in my life.
Right.
I was just leave the fish alone. Like, they're in there. We're out here. Leave them alone. Like, I'm not on a soapbox, but
no,
I get it. I don't
like,
need to, like, you know, like, we're going to do this and we're going to yank him out of the water just so that we can put him back in the water or whatever. But, yes, it became his passion, and so I wanted to spend time with my kids, so I learned how to fish.
No, I like that. And think about it in terms of being a human. If there was another being that was fishing for humans. And so
I've thought about this all
the
time.
You know, you're out there bebopping around.
Totally.
The lovely Christie's here, and we're at Cache Creek, and all of a sudden – down comes some, and for you, it would be a pizza
right.
with salami and olives.
Or a brownie.
Whatever it
yep,
is.
Yep.
It'd be a pizza with salami and
I'll
olives.
Like,
and
that looks
like,
delicious.
Dude,
yeah. I'm going to take a bite.
And so you bebop over, and yep. you go to grab it, and all of a sudden you're hooked.
Whoop. And someone pulls me through the roof of Cash Creek.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, and I'm in terrible pain.
Right. And you have to either be, like, caught, frozen, cut, and filleted, or they're going to hold you up, 6'2", with your gorgeous salt and pepper hair and your perfectly manicured eyebrows, and they're going to take a picture of you,
uh-huh.
and then they're going to throw you back down to earth.
Throw me back down into Cash Creek.
Right. It's
exactly.
a 50-50 yeah. call. And so, I don't know, maybe that's part of it for me, too, guys, is, like, the whole idea of fishing, like Mark is saying, you're basically disturbing some other being's ecosystem for your own, like, I got you.
Now, did you enjoy the movie Gladiator? Because that's what I would say is human fishing, the closest thing that we have to it.
I mean, it's a very, very well-acted movie.
Yeah,
it's a well-constructed movie. I did, but I always hesitate when I go, did you enjoy? Like, when I was in college or a little bit after that, one of my favorite movies was Seven. Remember, you know,
you
Brad,
love Seven.
Yeah, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman.
Hard to forget.
Kevin Smith. Right, very hard to forget. But what if somebody said that to you when you came out of the movie? Did you enjoy Seven? Good God, if you say yes, you're a psychopath. Like, that's not to be enjoyed. I can say, hey, this was well produced.
Yeah.
This was a very, like, it was a yeah. gripping script.
Dude, Schindler's List.
All
wow,
right.
That was great. What a great experience that
was.
Laugh
riot.
Yeah.
I mean,
made you feel
did
alive.
Did you enjoy Schindler's List?
Anyway,
no.
All of this because the Giants threw at a Marlin. That was a pretty fun
hey,
conversation.
But yeah. Carson yeah. Seymour, huh? The savior, am I right?
Well, I'm going to take, if I were Guru, I would take a victory lap today because I said this yesterday on the air, watching Sean Jelly give up gapper after gapper. I don't know who's right and who's wrong in the whole situation with him and his family, but he needs to get off of the Giants until that whole thing is figured out. So I was very, very glad to see them make that move today.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGM's the FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station and home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Well, your review of Gladiator might be what's bugging me. I have a couple things, but you see gopher mounds? The real damage is happening below the surface. Gophers and moles can tear up your property quickly, but quietly. ATCO Pest Control offers effective removal and proven prevention to stop the digging before it gets worse. Mention you heard about ATCO on What's Bugging You and get 10% off of any gopher or mold treatment this month. Check atcopestcontrol.com today. All right, which one of you guys wants to lead off?
I'll go first if you want me to.
Go ahead. Let it rip.
I'll go first.
All
this
you.
Is easy. This is super easy. Again, I do not want to come off sounding a certain way. I am very thankful for this job and what we get to do over the next 4 hours. But what's bugging me is that my lovely is about to be in a bikini by the pool. There's blackjack and craps in the other room. And I can't go experience any of that right now. This place is incredible. No, I'll be real. I've never been here before. I've never been out to Cache Creek. She used to come when she was in college, and it is a completely different place than it was 20, 25 years ago. We've only gotten about an hour to kind of get a lay of the land and look at the grounds and everything. This place is incredible and would pass for any of the top houses in Vegas the second you walk into it. And let's just say, I am, as much as I'm looking forward, dibs, to 2-6.
Oh, boy.
I'm also very much looking forward to 6 o'clock tonight, so we can get after it here at Cache Creek.
No doubt.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all.
For me, it is publicized selfie videos in cars. I don't like the back and forth from a lot of these, you know, understandably national people who are, and maybe they got beef with each other. I think the latest one is like Bill Simmons and Kendrick Perkins. Just do the video outside of the front seat of your car. I understand sometimes you're in a rush and you want to get a thought off. I understand if you're taking a video and you want to send it to a friend. It's in a private group chat. I don't know. I woke up this morning and I saw Kendrick Perkins in a suit with his seatbelt on, and it just looked it looked wrong. It looked weird. It looked strange. And I just what's bugging me are people posting on social media selfie videos in their front seat car. You're either going to drive or get out and take the video somewhere else.
That feels like a shot at Goo. I think Goo does that.
Well, and I've told him this.
I told him.
Evan did not run from that characterization. Apparently it was about Goo.
No, it wasn't about Goo. Okay. It was really about Kendrick Perkins this morning. But no, Guru has to do some videos in his car, and I understand because he's really probably spends half the day in his car, unlike
That's
I do.
True too.
But if you're not 3 hours on the road back and forth between Sacramento and the Bay Area, I think you should be able to take a selfie outside of your car.
Fair point. Fair point. I'll go next. What's bugging me is stupid reporting such as this. This comes courtesy of one of those more famous aggregators on Twitter, at Legion Hoops. If you are on Twitter and you're a basketball fan, you probably see this all over the place. Let me just read this direct tweet to you. Quote, "The Knicks, Heat, and Warriors are reportedly among the teams interested in Giannis, per the New York Post." Okay, every single team is interested in Giannis. I do not need you to tell me that a team in New York, Miami, and San Francisco are interested in Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is the most worthless tweet I have ever seen in my life, and we would be better off not even having that reporting in the first place. Of course everyone wants Giannis. Please, you do not need to tell me that. That's what's bugging me today.
No, that's great, and it's like, you know, if you wanted to name three or four single celebrity men who are interested in fill-in-the-blank supermodel, it's like,
true.
So-and-so is reportedly interested in blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, so are the other 1.7 billion men on planet Earth. So, yeah, it's an aggregation sensation, Grandy, is what it is.
Cha-ching. And
it's big-time lazy. You know what's also lazy?
What?
Is people who give out nicknames. And what's bugging me are nickname givers. And we work with a guy named Steven Risotto, and he's right now on the ones and twos, and he was given the nickname Pasta because we think that, you know, Pasta would be a nickname. And I'm looking at you, Dan Devone, Saturdays with Evan, 9 to noon. I can't wait to hear you tomorrow, and I know you're listening now, and you can come back at me then. I won't be listening. I'll be golfing at Yochidehi.
But
how lazy do you have to be to just give a guy a nickname of Pasta when his last name is Risotto? Memo to Devone and the nickname givers, Risotto is a rice. So the man's nickname is not Pasta, it's rice. And it's just like people who give out nicknames based on pure laziness. Do your homework, Devone, and the rest of you, and understand that Risotto is rice. The man's nickname is rice. It's not Pasta. It's rice. All you nickname givers, you're bugging me.
You're kind of a nickname giver. You're kind of a nickname giver.
But I do it right.
Well, okay, then that's the point. The point, you don't dislike nickname givers. You dislike those who don't do it well.
I dislike nickname givers who are lazy.
Okay.
Like,
what?
For you, your name is Mark Willard. Like, if your nickname, is it Willie? Is it Marky? I mean, honestly, your nickname would be something that is completely endemic to you and your personality.
My friends in high school just called me Will.
Fine.
Yeah.
Allowable.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Outside of that, I never really had a nickname.
Can I present a counterpoint, Dibs?
Go ahead, Evan.
Okay, so a lot of people's nicknames, it's not so much the nickname as it is the story, the origin story of the nickname. So in this case, and I hate to break it to you, Steven Risotto will forever be Pasta. Because the whole joke is that Dan Devone doesn't know that Risotto is rice. And so Pasta is going to stick. It's one of the reasons why in college, my nickname for a lot of college friends is Dangs. And it's because my friend could not pronounce Giddings. He pronounced it Giddangs. The origin story is what makes the nickname. And so unless it's, you know, Dibs is understandable. It's a little bit short and Will, Steiny, for example. But, like, Guru has a great origin story for his nickname. He's forever going to be the Goo. So, Pasta's, I hate to break it to you.
And I don't call Risotto Pasta because I think that Risotto is a pasta. I call Risotto Pasta because it's a good nickname, and it's stuck. And I'm going to keep calling him that.
Well, you guys are wrong, and you're out of line for calling him that. And the fact that Dan Devone is from New York, which is one of the great bastions of Italian food. And the fact that he doesn't know that risotto is a rice is an embarrassment to the great people of the metropolitan area of New York. And I grew up with a guy whose nickname was Pasta. And his nickname was Pasta because, and it still is, because he had a gigantic belly and he ate a lot of pasta. So shout out Michael Reed, who is a youth referee. And
Giants
he
legend,
has a
Michael
gigantic
Reed?
Belly, and he has been pasta since he was a kid. Wow. Because the kid ate pasta.
I think we got to the bottom of this, is you just think that the pasta nickname has already been taken. And so you have an issue with it. I actually just call him risotto, because risotto is better than both rice and pasta. So, Steven, just keep your actual last name, because it's delicious.
Steven, what did you say to me about 20 minutes ago when we were trying to like make sure the audio was right? You're like, hey, Dibs, can you hear me?
This is a trap, Steven.
Is he there?
Be very careful.
Unfortunately, it's the boss.
The best part about this whole thing is Steven isn't here, but I am.
Oh.
Boy.
And what's your nickname for him? Look. Exactly. You're a nickname giver.
He's busy. He's busy.
As long as you get a fist bump from the boss.
His nickname is look, because... You know, that's what he would say constantly, and whatever. I'm not a nickname giver. I just know that risotto is not pasta, and for those of you calling him pasta, you're wrong, and you're out of line.
All right. Noted. Noted.
Real quick, we got a couple minutes here. Was Ace Bailey out of line this week, guys?
I don't know if I would refer to it as out of line. I would say it's misguided. And for people who don't know what Ace Bailey did, basically the word was that he and his agent told the top five teams, don't pick me. And he wanted to go to Washington at 6. And Danny Ainge didn't listen and grabbed him at number 5 for the Utah Jazz. And where it goes next, I have no idea. I never put that on a player. Go back to the stories of Eli Manning or whatever, when they're trying to control where they're going. I don't think it comes off very well. But it's their life, it's their career, it's their situation. So if that's the power play you want to make and you want to try to do it before you're even a professional, knock yourself out. I don't think it's the best first step for your career. I don't think your teammates are going to love you upon arrival. Draymond Green even spoke publicly on this, I know today, saying that this is... It's kind of like strike one already before you even get to the league. And so it's not what I would suggest for him, but it's his world, dude. So it's not like, you know what I mean? I don't think it's out of line.
He's not the first one to do it. And, like, why don't we look at Kobe with that same energy? Because Kobe got taken by the Lakers only because Kobe was only going to be a Laker. And you can go back to, you said, Eli Manning. And there's been many other examples of players letting it be known. What about Trayce Jackson-Davis? Second rounder,
that's a little
lesser
different
case, but still, he might have been taken, but his agent, the brother of Mike Dunleavy, let it be known that he wanted to get a certain amount of money, and the Warriors would do it, and so
it's a little
this is
different.
Not the first time that this has happened.
I get it, but it's a little different on the back end of drafts than it is, I think, on the front end of drafts. Like, this is, I don't know how many people know this, but at the end of drafts, this is a very consistent thing where, like, agents will immediately, when a guy has dropped to, say, the 7th round in the NFL, and you're in the back half of the seventh round, agents will start calling teams and suggesting, don't take him. Now, the team, right, because you'd rather be undrafted, and then you can pick your spot, and the guarantee you get for being a 7th rounder is next to nothing, and so they'd almost rather be undrafted. So, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, these every athlete has someone that they hire to be an advocate for them. And, you know, do it however you want to do it. It's not how I would have done it, but, you know, that's you.
Well, think about it, guys. In our framework, and I'm looking at you two particularly because you're a lot closer to this than Mark and I are. But
that is
lost connection there. For
yeah, lost awesome connection. Do we need to keep it here? Okay, I got you. No, sorry about that. The abrupt ending, but we do want to send things out to. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was something with Dibs' mic. He's back, and he's hot, and he is all revved up and ready to go.
All right. Sorry about that, Dibs.
Go, what's Dibs.
No, it's a genius take. Think about it. In our business, if you guys were coming out as college graduates and you had a chance to be broadcasters, what if you had to be drafted into a station and into a market? You probably would be really afraid of where you might go. You know, with the 12th pick, Iowa selects Mark Grandy. You're going to Des Moines.
I already lived in Iowa, and they'd be paying me a whole lot more money to do it, so I'd be game. Let's do it.
You lived in Iowa?
He reeks of Iowa.
I did live in Iowa for
2 years. I
want
to hear about that.
And it was not Des Moines. Des Moines would be a major step
up. Yeah, that's a level up.
What the hell were you doing in Iowa?
I
got drafted to broadcasting.
I did play-by-play for high schools and small colleges out of college.
Okay.
Yeah.
You went from, so you graduated in Oregon.
Moved to Iowa, yeah.
Why? Like, why did you go there?
Because I wanted reps and to get better at broadcasting. And
like, I mean, there was a job offer that you went to, or you were just like, I'm going to go to Iowa and see what
they got. I got a job offer.
Okay. Yeah. No, then that makes sense, because I went to Idaho. I mean, I get if there's a job, okay. I just didn't, for a minute there, I thought you were like, you know what, Mom, Dad, I'm going to Iowa.
Iowa, the
I'm
land
see
of
what
opportunity,
happens.
Willard.
Okay,
you know
yeah,
it.
I get it. Yeah, you know, shout out to the I states.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, we've all gone some strange places, but all in hopes that one day, we could get to Cache Creek Casino Resort for
like
an
with
awesome
a,
night.
With a live audience.
With a live audience.
Make some noise, people.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at
crazy.
Yeah, see, you didn't even know. You didn't even know. By the way, those are the loudest five people you ever heard of. Like, right, but it counts. It's a live audience.
Hey, boys, hit them straight tomorrow, all right?
Have fun. Treat everyone all right, and we're looking forward to it.
Okay, boys.
All right. Take it easy. Willard Dibbs coming up next at Cache Creek Casino Resort. All right, here on 95.7 The Game.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's go.
Let's do this.
Let's do this thing. All right, we are out here live at Cache Creek Casino Resort for the long-awaited Willard and Dibs getaway, along with some of our favorite listeners. Yes, we will be golfing together tomorrow, but we are already. It's a fraternization sensation.
That's a buck.
That is already happening here live on the scene at Cache Creek. And this place is unbelievable.
It's incredible. Yeah. And live remotes are like children where you love all of them equally, and I was thinking about this earlier on the drive up.
Cha-ching!
No, it's not.
You always. I'm gonna put you out there for a second.
Put me out there.
Because you always say that on the air, and then we get to commercial.
Well,
and you're like, all right, really, which one's your favorite kid?
And it's the most. Like, it's one of the stupidest thing that parents actually say, because if you're a parent and you have more than one kid, you cannot pass a lie detector where the question is, who's your favorite kid? Well, I like Demondi Shame. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
You do in a large sense. You don't on any given day.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
No, it's not. Because if you asked me every day, I'd have an answer for you, but it's a different answer every day.
Okay, fine.
It's like, which one ticked me off this morning?
If I asked you 365 straight days, one of the kids would have 208.
What's 365 divided by 3?
It's 128.3.
Is that right?
I might have that right. I got problems,
121.6.
The point is...
6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6.
The point is, on one day, or I guess that'd be 2 or 3 days, it's a tie. You wouldn't. If I asked you every day, at the end of 365, it would be, I know who would be one.
Yeah.
I know who would be two. And then the dog would be three. And then I know who would be fourth.
The dog is usually one, to be honest.
My point is... Live remotes are like children. You love them all the same. No, you don't. No, you don't. This is probably my favorite live remote ever.
Yeah, yeah.
We're here at Cache Creek. They're about to have a 40th birthday party for this place.
Has it been 40 years?
They're giving away a car. A couple cars are being given away.
Are we eligible? Okay. All right. Go on.
A quick no.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I told you, we got a live studio audience here, and they've got some things to say. That's very clear.
I haven't seen a stop sign that quick since junior prom, I'll be honest.
Anyway, go
on. Anyhow, live remotes are like kids. You love them all the same, blah, blah, blah. This is my favorite.
Yeah, this is pretty good. So we first and foremost want to thank everybody out here at Cache Creek Casino Resort for the hospitality. This was a piece of cake drive getting out here, and we bounced around a little bit to check out just a little bit of what we could before we're getting started. We're looking forward to the rest tomorrow, which does include golf at Yochidehi, which I've never done before.
Mm, you're going to love it.
You have, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know it's supposed to be. Everybody who I've talked to is like, oh, you're going to love it. Wait till you see it out there. And so we're going to do that tomorrow. We're going to experience it. We've already had some of the dining options. We've already taken care of that.
Looked incredible.
Ate a little bit more than I should have, but that's all right.
Yep.
We're going to get ready for a long afternoon here. So anyway, we are thrilled to be here, and an interesting day to be here as well with a lot going on.
So much going on, and you know, you've got Giants with a send down and a call up and a trip to Chicago where, you know, it's a get right series, but you're coming off a sweep against the Marlins, and you have a couple of new Warriors and maybe Warriors that you do have, you won't have. And, you know, we are tiptoeing closer to that June 30th open season day, which would be Monday.
Monday at 3 o'clock.
Between our 5:58 sign-off, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend, to when we get back on Monday, back in the studio, unless we decide to stay here, which I think it'd be cool if we did.
I'm not against it.
Nor am I.
Yep.
But between now and then, who knows what's going to happen with this team, right?
That's a fair way to put it. I don't know if they know.
Right.
I know that in listening to them, and we can get to this a lot throughout the afternoon, I think there's a lot of different directions to go with sort of that thing we were talking about off the top in the crossover, because it is what's, for whatever reason, with the blend of things that we have today, that word maturity keeps popping into my head. More on that in just a second. But, yeah, I think the Warriors, did you see the part about how they admitted, and I don't know why they admitted this, I'd almost like to like play with this for a second with you. They admitted that they tried to get into the first round yesterday, that there was a player that they liked, a player who they felt could contribute right away. The rest of them, you're just rookies. Maybe you'll come contribute. Maybe you'll go on a journey through the G League. Maybe we'll see you in February. But there was one guy who they identified as, you can help us, and you can help us right away. And they tried like hell to get into the first round to get him, and it didn't work out. And then they came out and told everybody, which you know is always kind of the way my brain processes.
They didn't say who it was.
They didn't, though Tim Kawakami feels like he has put the puzzle pieces together and does know who it was. And here, let me pull the name for you. It was a kid out of Florida.
Straight out of Florida.
Yeah, it was.
Crazy Stretch 4.
No, not Will Richard. That's who they did get. I'm talking about who they didn't get.
Walter Clayton Jr.?
That's the one. Walter Clayton Jr.
If you remember the tourney, that guy was a bucket.
Yes.
And he could not guard him.
He went number 18 to Utah.
Right.
And again, that's not like 100% super double confirmed, but putting all the puzzle pieces together and the fact that Tim decided to put it in his article, I feel comfortable that he feels comfortable that that's who it was.
Well, if he's comfortable, then I'm comfortable.
Exactly, and we're all comfortable, and it was nice for Tim to come on yesterday and talk some of this out. But anyway, Walter Clayton Jr., a dynamic scorer, as you put it, the Warriors maybe thought he could contribute right away, and they went to go get him, and they couldn't. It didn't work out. And then they publicly stated that that was what they tried to do, and it didn't work out, which at a minimum made me scratch my head, because every time you see a dignitary of sports come out and publicly tell you something about on the inside, it makes me go, all right, now why did you want us to know that? What are you telling us about, in theory, what's going to happen next? The only thing I can come up with is that Mike Dunleavy has already, and he said this a couple of different ways, but in a more broad way, I think the Warriors are signaling that they are going after a bunch of things, and they are going to be very aggressive, because I know the feeling right now the feeling is, well, the Warriors don't really have a whole lot they can do.
Right, right.
I think there's more that they can do than they're letting on. They're doing that age-old, under-promise, try to over-deliver. And it, in fact, this article highlights that Valkyries game that that I went to on Wednesday night during the draft. I told you that Pods was in his seat freaking out, but what was different? What was different about Pods' seat?
Joe Lacob was not there.
There you go. He was sitting next to Kirk, not Joe. Mm. And the reason was is because Joe was with Dunleavy up in the back hallways of Chase Center trying to go get this kid in the first round.
Right, right. Because there is a lot that they're going to try to do. And, you know, Shams Charania 6 weeks ago saying this is going to be the craziest offseason you've ever seen. And already we've seen some big things happen. And then we had Mike Dunleavy a few days ago talk about how we're going to be in the mix. And if you're going to be in the mix, that means you're going to try to find somebody in the first round that you really like. And part of being in the mix is dangling Jonathan Kuminga in a sign-and-trade or maybe other players that you have, and you've got a lot of your first-round picks. You've got all your first-round picks. So if you're going to be in the mix, that means that everything outside of probably Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, anything is available, anything's on the table, including super fan Brandon Pajemski.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? He's courtside at a Valks game, early third quarter, and he's going bananas in his lavender.
I did think of that. I'm like,
all of a sudden, Joe's on the phone, and he looks over, and he hangs up, and he goes over, and he gives him a tap, 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 and a whisper, whisper, and Pods is like, really?
Just takes the Valkyries jersey off.
That's right.
Throws it out onto the court and storms out of Chase Center. Yeah, I thought of that the other night. I was like, what if Pods gets traded to the Heat? Is he still a Valks super fan?
Mid-game.
I mean, he still can be here for the summer if he wants, but I will tell you, I don't think Pods is going anywhere.
No, no.
In this conversation, Mike Dunleavy did actually name names. He said he's going through the process of trying to find players to fill in around the people we know are going to be here. What names do you think he said out loud?
Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Brankin Pajemski, maybe, I guess, TJD, and hi, this is Guy Santos. And
Guy actually needs a qualifying offer to stay. I think it will happen.
Yeah.
But
that probably is the end of the list.
He named five names.
Probably Brankin.
Steph.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Brandon Pajemski, and?
Quentin Post.
No, Moses Moody.
Oh,
Moses
really?
Moody. Those are the five names he named as. These are the guys we know.
What about
know.
Buttered?
Well, right. Buttered very well.
My name's Buddy.
Buttered may well be paired in a Kuminga trade because of the salary. If you're going to trade Jonathan Kuminga, and believe you me, I think they are trying like hell. I think it's that kind of tone. I think they are trying like crazy to trade Jonathan Kuminga. And because of the whole 50 cents on the dollar thing for the sign-and-trade, if you're going to get somebody back of significance, you got to add money to it. And Buddy Hield is probably your best way to do that.
And if you're an acquiring team, Buddy is below $10 million for, I believe, the next 3 years. So if you just need somebody to play every game, have a great attitude and shoot the ball
and crush a press conference.
Whatever. He doesn't even make $10 million.
Right.
Like,
right.
And that big toothy smile and the great attitude and like, I'm Buddy. All I do is play all 82 and shoot the ball a lot.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But,
so
I mean, he's the most known commodity maybe in the NBA.
No doubt. And we're going to get to this a little bit later on in the show. Justice De Los Santos, who covers the San Francisco Giants for the Merc, is going to be on with us at 3:15. From the ballpark to wine country, summer's better when your car's ready to roll. Valvoline Instant Oil Change gets you in and out in about 15 minutes. No appointment needed for locations and coupons. Visit BarriaOilChange.com. All right, 888-957-9570. We've got a whole plethora of things to get to today. And indeed, we are live on the scene at the beautiful Cache Creek Casino Resort in front of a massive studio audience.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
Right here on Willard and Dibbs.